Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's been a long time since we've had Sydney, who is a Muslim from Chicago, on this program. When we've had him on, we've talked about his life as a Muslim. We've talked somewhat about Islam in the headlines, about moral teachings between the Quran and the scriptures. And we've begun to get into the prophecies about the Messiah from the Bible, Old and New Testament. And our plan today is to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So is it true? Do we have Sydney back on the line? Sydney, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. And so first off, how have you been?
I've been real good, thanks to God. And everybody's healthy, and I can't ask for more than that.
All right. So, Sydney, thank you for joining us. Before we talk about the resurrection, it's fitting to talk about the crucifixion. You're familiar with the fact that the four Gospels and the rest of the New Testament speak of the crucifixion. That word appears over 50 times. But then also in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures have messianic prophecies, as in Daniel chapter 9, prophesying the timing, even to the very month, when the Messiah would be killed. And in fact, he was crucified, as the New Testament teaches, on the very day that the Passover was being observed, when the Passover lambs were being killed. So throughout the Old Testament, there's a prophecy in Zechariah that they would mourn for one who was pierced, as one mourns for a firstborn son. King David in Psalm 22, in a messianic psalm that Jesus quoted on the cross, that they pierced my hands and my feet from being born in Bethlehem, the Eternal One. So we have all of that scripture speaking of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You agree, I believe you said on this program last time we talked, that you agree that there's powerful evidence that Jesus was crucified.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
All right. Well, then we do have the Quran that teaches something very different. I have my handy leather-bound Quran right here. I'll let the audience see that I have it. And Sydney, the Quran, in a moment, I'd like to quote a passage I'm sure you're familiar with from Surah 4, where Muhammad and the Quran deny that Jesus was crucified. They say that Jesus was not crucified. But before I read that, you agree, I'm sure you recognize, that the Quran teaches that the Hebrew Torah and the Christian Gospels were God's first and second revelations, right? You agree with that?
Yes.
That God spoke through Moses and he spoke through Jesus and the Gospels. Then the Quran in Surah 6, 115, teaches that no one can change God's word. And yet it claims that the Old and New Testaments, the book and the people of the book, Jews and Christians, that the Old and New Testaments became corrupted, even though later in the Quran, in Surah 18:27, no one can change God's word. Yet Muhammad claimed that the word of God was corrupt on earth, and therefore most of its fundamental teachings, the four Gospels, almost the entirety of the message of the four Gospels, he rejected.
Now, from my understanding of my teachings, when we say the word was corrupted, we always say when man take his own interpretation and go from the book. Just like, for instance, when you look at how the Catholics say the priest shouldn't be married, the nun shouldn't be married, that's not in the book.
Right.
You know, man take their own interpretation and corrupt it.
Well, right.
Do you agree?
Absolutely. Everyone agrees that that happens. When God says something and men pervert it. But
right.
Muhammad went further. He said that God gave this word. There were two revelations through Moses, the Torah, and then through Jesus and the apostles, we received the Gospels. And that no one can change God's word, but then he taught not that the interpretation only was wrong, but that the Gospels themselves are corrupted. And he rejects the fundamental teachings of the Gospels. I'd like to give an example from Surah chapter 4, if that's all right with you. And this is
that's fine.
All right, thanks, Sydney. And this is why Muslims worldwide reject the teaching in the Gospels that Christ was raised from the dead because Muhammad said that he wasn't even crucified. So here, I'll start in verse 153. It's speaking of the people of the book, and typically that's Jews or Christians, depending Old or New Testament, or both. The people of the book, they asked Moses, show us Allah, yet they worship the calf. So obviously we're back at the Ten Commandments in Mount Sinai. Right. And even so, God forgave them and gave Moses manifest proofs of authority. So the teaching that Moses was a prophet of God, and God showed the world by manifest proofs his authority to speak in God's name. And then you come forward in verse 56, but they rejected faith. They uttered against Mary a grave false charge. I think what Muhammad was talking about, people who would accuse Mary of sexual immorality. And then in the next verse, they said in boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, but they killed him not, nor crucified him. And then at the end of that verse, for a surety, they killed him not. So the Quran states very bluntly, and it's so direct, that indeed it's the belief of Islam, a billion people around the world, that Jesus Christ was not crucified. And so I would ask you to acknowledge, based on the evidence that you have seen with your own eyes, you looked at our Mount Moriah DVD, mm-hmm. I would ask you to acknowledge that all of history and the scriptures from Moses and the Torah and the Gospels overwhelmingly show with the proof of history that Jesus Christ was crucified. Can you admit that the Quran is wrong in this point?
I'm not going to say the Quran is wrong in that point, and then I'll explain. But I will agree with you that Jesus Christ was crucified. And from the teachings that I received from my imam, when they say, we crucified him not, that was from when the Jews said that they didn't kill Christ. And they even say it today. They say they didn't kill Christ. They even made it today. I know you hear it a lot of times on the different programs, whenever they're challenged on Jesus Christ of being the one to kill Jesus, even after Mel Gibson made his movie, The Passion of Christ,
right?
They really got on him about that because they said it may look like the Jews killed him, and they didn't kill him. And they still uttering those same things today. They're not taking credit for letting one go and saying crucify Christ.
Absolutely. When something terrible happens, people all run. Victory has many fathers, but when there's a failure or a sin or wickedness, nobody wants to admit responsibility.
Right.
The New Testament states very clearly in the Gospel of John that the Jews had lost their authority to execute anyone because they were occupied by the Roman Empire. And so they had to go to Pontius Pilate, and he was the Roman procurator, the governor. And so it was, in the end, the Romans who crucified Jesus Christ. It was
right.
It was not the Jews. The Jews requested, the Jewish religious leaders requested that Christ be crucified. And I believe that happened in part because of the prophecies through the centuries that the Messiah would suffer and be killed. The Hebrew word karat in Daniel chapter 9, the prophecy of 483 years after a command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, the Messiah would be killed. But he wasn't killed for his own sin. In Isaiah 53, he was put to death for our sins. He suffered for our sins. So, of course, they would say after the fact, you know, at the time, at the very time, they would brag. In fact, they said, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him, crucify him. They wanted him to be put to death, and when he was, they thought it was a victory. This man, Jesus from Nazareth, we killed him. But of course, centuries later, everybody's going to deny wrongdoing in any particular case. But what the Quran says is not what you're saying or your imam said to you, Sidney. The Quran is not saying that the Jews deny that they killed the Christ. It's saying they said in boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of God, but they killed him not, nor crucified him. for a surety they killed him not. So are you agreeing with the Gospels that Jesus Christ was crucified?
Yes.
That is powerful, Sidney, because the history of the world and the Jewish scriptures and the Gospels tell us that Jesus Christ was crucified. Now, do you also agree that it is the general belief of Islam worldwide that they deny that Jesus Christ was crucified?
From my understanding, no.
Wow.
Because that's not how we were taught. We were taught that all books have truth and good in it, and respect all books and all the beliefs. So we wasn't taught that way.
I'm thrilled that you were not taught that, because that would be false by the history of the world. It was this small band of cowards 2,000 years ago that turned the world upside down. We not only have the testimony of eyewitnesses, but we have the eyewitnesses recording their own account of Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection, and by their own words, they denied him, and they fled. They were afraid. And then something happened to turn these fishermen and tax collectors and cowards into the boldest men the ancient world knew, and they literally turned the Roman Empire upside down and almost to a man were put to death themselves. They were persecuted and martyred, and they would have to deny their claim that Jesus rose from the dead, and if they would deny that, then they would be spared. But history doesn't record not once of all the hundreds of eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the first century. There's not one record by history that these men and women denied what their own eyes saw as confirmed by the scriptures, that the Messiah was crucified and was raised from the dead.
Right. Yeah, that's what I said. We wasn't taught that, and that's why I didn't disagree with that.
All right. Well, then let me ask you this. Do you know that there are millions of Muslims who believe and they are taught that Jesus was not crucified?
I wasn't aware of that.
Wow.
That kind of teaching was going on
Wow.
throughout the world, because I wasn't taught that way.
All right. Well, I'm glad you were not taught that. So let's go on to the next topic now, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We agree, and I'm glad your imam agrees, that Christ was crucified. Then for the resurrection, we sort of hit a snag in our last discussion, and it had to do with Paul's statement, the Apostle Paul, and then the converse of it. It seems to me that the Bible is incredibly honest, like the Hebrew Scriptures. It's written by the Jews, and the Hebrew Bible presents the Jews as unbelievably wicked, pretty much as wicked as the rest of the people in the world. And normally, when kings and prophets record their own ministry and their own works and all, they praise themselves and they praise their people. But the Bible, at every turn, shows that the priests of Israel were evil, the prophets even were evil, the patriarchs, the kings. And so there's the flavor of realism there. If they were going to just make it up, you'd think they'd make themselves look better. Why make up a book that makes you look so bad unless it's true? And so that's the claim of the Bible.
But they don't follow the New Testament, though, whatsoever. They totally
denounce
the New Testament.
Well, you're right. I'm pointing out first the flavor of realism of the Hebrew Scriptures, where there's evidence even in the text that they're not making it up. Because why make your first priests look so evil? And why make so many of your prophets be false prophets? And why your kings are so evil and God kills them and they commit adultery and murder? Even your best guys are cowards and liars. The point is that there's a lot of evidence in the text itself that the Jews did not invent this account of their history. And so then you come to the New Testament, and it seems like there's the same kind of intellectual honesty and courage, where the Apostle Paul said that if Christ did not rise from the dead, Christianity is false. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we sort of hit a snag on that, Sidney, last time. Mm-hmm. I asked you to think about that.
Yeah, I thought about it. I researched it. And I even talked to a couple of ministers in Seventh-day Adventists. And what I found out, they all agree and say that, like you were saying, they saying the only way you can get through to God is through Jesus Christ, and that's what they believe. And they say if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you can't get to heaven.
Yeah, and the reason that's, so many say that is because the Gospels, which Muhammad said were revealed from God, the Gospels record Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he taught that that's why he was crucified, because he had to pay for the sin of the world. So God wants to forgive us and give us eternal life, but we have all sinned against him. And the sin results in punishment of judgment, wrath, and death. And so for God to just wink and make believe that never happened is just destructive of justice and righteousness. And in fact, if there's no real penalty, if God just says, okay, I forgive you, enter into paradise, then everybody could do it all again. Adam and Eve, Noah, King David, everybody could just start sinning again if there was no real price. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ had to die, God the Son, our Creator, the Eternal One who would be born in Bethlehem. That was the prophecy, and Christ was, that he would pay the price for our sin as his blood was shed on the cross. And so yes, that's why these men said you must believe in Jesus.
So now the question is, if a person commit murder and ask for forgiveness, can he commit murder again and ask for forgiveness again?
Well, Jesus said if someone sins against you seven times and seven times comes and says, I repent, forgive me, Jesus said, forgive him seven times. And but what if it's 70 times seven? And Jesus said, 70 times seven. The point in the scriptures, Sidney, is that God wants to enjoy our fellowship forever with all of us. But what he needs to be able to do that is humility. He needs humility. He needs a contrite heart. He needs someone to say, I know I can't be good enough to satisfy God's righteous requirement, but thank you that Jesus did that for me. He needs that humility. And once we humble ourselves to trust in Christ, that he died and was raised for us, then the scriptures say that God redeems us and gives us eternal life.
But it only has to be through Christ.
Only through Christ. Can I ask you this question?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that when we talked about Paul saying that if Christ did not rise from the dead, Christianity is false. And I asked you the converse of that. I asked you, Sidney, could you agree that if Christ did rise from the dead, then Islam is false and Christianity is true? Can I ask you that again? Do you agree with that?
Still, I can't commit 100% to say that that statement is 100% true. If you could say, okay, if Christ rose from the dead, then Christianity is true and Islam is false. Through all my studies, I still can't commit to that 100%. I would still have to say that each man would have to believe what they believe in, and when we die, it's going to be the only way we'll be able to know the truth, or on Judgment Day.
The last thing you said, when every man dies and they will know the truth, that's absolutely correct. But, Sidney, there is no valid reason for you not to answer that question affirmatively. The only possible reason is that what you're showing is that you are doubting Muhammad, which you should, because he was a false prophet. You are doubting the Quran, because this is a religion that has taught millions that Christ did not rise from the dead. Muhammad denigrated Jesus Christ to elevate himself. He robbed from many in the world the belief that leads to everlasting life, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Muhammad did that because he didn't have centuries of prophecies pointing to the coming of Muhammad in Mecca or Medina. There were not people through the centuries waiting for Muhammad to come. Muhammad came and he proclaimed himself. Jesus Christ came at the pinnacle of expectation that the Messiah would be coming so that the whole nation and even the Magi from Babylon from the east came because they knew that the Messiah would be coming. Jesus said, if I testify concerning myself, don't believe me. My testimony is not credible. Look at the scriptures. Look at the prophecies. But Muhammad had no prophecies. There was no expectation. He did the opposite of Jesus Christ. He said, here I am. Believe me.
What we were taught and what we believe is that all the books has truth. And that's starting with the Old Testament, by putting no God before me. And Jesus said, I have not came to change the law. I came to fulfill it. So if he ain't changing the law, we still can't put no other God before God. So that's why I can't ever say Jesus is Lord, because now we're making two gods. And if Satan want to deter everybody in a straight path, just like he want to do, the first thing he'll do is make you break the first commandment. Don't put no other God before him.
All right.
So if we start worshiping Jesus, because I hear in Christian churches all the time, people don't even say God. They don't even refer to Jehovah. They say Jesus' name from the beginning of the church to the end of the service. And they never want to talk about God. But then they say Jesus and God is one. But if Satan want to deceive the world, and they say only 144,000 going to reach the kingdom, that number is realistic.
No.
Because people, a lot of people in this world still today don't worship God first.
Sydney, the Bible doesn't say only 144,000 will be in God's kingdom. That's at the end of this part of human history. So that's out of the book of Revelation, and that's a snapshot of one moment of those who are sealed to do the work of the Lord. You're asking a valid question about the claim that Jesus is God, the claim of the New Testament in the Gospels that Jesus created everything that was created in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Do you recall that the Torah, the books of Moses, constantly refer to God as a plurality? Do you recall that?
No, every time I remember, it's always singular.
Okay, well, get ready. Do you have your seatbelt on?
Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 1, God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Unlike the Quran that says no person is in Allah's likeness, the Bible says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. The very first verse of the Bible uses a plural word for God, Elohim, in a singular verb. So the word El is the Hebrew word for God. Elah is God like a duality. Elohim is a plurality. And so the very first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, Elohim, gods, plural, singular verb, he created the heavens and the earth. So the world's number one bestseller either has a grammatical error in the very first verse that your teacher would mark you off on, an X, or from the very first verse, the Bible is saying that there's a plurality in the Godhead because for eternity past, God fellowshipped within the Trinity. That's what God was doing forever and ever in the everlasting past. And in the first chapter, Elohim appears, I think, over 20 times.
But now at the same time, you got your seatbelt on?
Yeah.
When he said, let us make man, was not Lucifer there also?
No. That's not God making man in Lucifer's image. That's another gross perversion of the text.
Was he not there at the same time? When did Lucifer come when he said, let us make man? When did Lucifer come?
The angels of God were created on day one.
Okay.
But God says, I am the only creator, there is no other. Do you know that in the Hebrew scriptures? He says, I am the creator, there is no other.
So now you're twisting me up here. You're confusing me.
Go ahead.
At one point you say, when he said, let us make man, he was only referring to him and Jesus.
He was referring to the persons of the Godhead within the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit.
But now if he say, let us make man, and Satan and other angels was present, he still can use the plural of us.
But the very first verse, in the beginning, Elohim, gods, he created. And then you know the Shema, the Hebrew prayer, which is the foundation of all of monotheism? It's the God of Abraham. The billions of people in the world who believe in one God, they all believe in the God of Abraham. And mm-hmm. that Shema says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In right. Hebrew has different words for one, like Yakad, for example. And they have a one singularity and a plural one, like where God said, man will leave his father and mother and the two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plural one. When all the people spoke to Moses with one voice, that's the plural one. And the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Moses used the plural one because there is a plurality in the Godhead. That is taught throughout the Hebrew scriptures, and it is revealed expressly in Jesus Christ, who is our Creator God. And that's why he had to die for us, because nothing else would be sufficient to pay for all of your sin, Sydney, and all of my sin for all of eternity. Only the value of God himself was sufficient.
But get back to Genesis. In the first chapter of Genesis, it was referring to a singular person. It said, God created the heavens and earth. God said, let there be light. God saw the light. It was only one singular person.
Well, over 20 times it says Elohim. You might have not known this, Sydney, but that's the Hebrew word for God's plural. And yet every time it's a singular verb, showing from the first verse of the Bible that the Christian doctrine of God is correct and Islam is wrong, because Islam teaches a unity, a Unitarian singular God, which if it was true, even God couldn't know if he were good, whereas Christianity teaches a plurality in the Godhead from the first verse of Moses. Sydney, will you admit right now that if Christ rose from the dead, that Islam is false?
I can't agree to that 100%.
All right, well then, I can't continue on those terms.
Yeah.
So Sydney, we're stuck right there.
Yeah, and, we're stuck.
And I think you, if it's okay, I'd like to contact you in the future, maybe
yes,
a month
sir.
Or two, and ask you if you will agree to that.
Yeah, if I ever agree to that, I will contact you
right.
and explain why.
All right. So, Sydney, I appreciate you saying that you'll contact us if you change your mind. And I plead with you to reconsider Paul's simple statement of truth.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'll try.
God bless you, Sydney.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right.
Our website is kgov.com.